And we're back. We've got some special guests tonight. This past weekend at Stages, there was a new show called The Big Voice, God or Merman. And we've got the two stars of the show right here, Steve Shackland.
All right. Yes.
And Jim Brochure.
Good. Nice pronunciation.
I do.
Shacklin rhymes with cracklin', and Brochure rhymes with nothing.
Like orange, right?
Like orange.
Tell us about the show, guys.
Well, it's the story of two gay men, one from Brooklyn, that's me, and one from Texas. And when I was a kid, I wanted to be not only a priest, I wanted to be the first Brooklyn-born pope. I used to practice, come out on the balcony and wave to the crowd. And then everything changed when my father took me to a matinee of Gypsy, and he knew Ethel Merman. And brought me onto the stage of the Broadway Theater after the show. And I met Miss Merman, and all of a sudden I realized that I could find my religion in a theater rather than a church.
And that's when you knew you were gay.
Well, that's when everyone else knew he was gay.
No, I think I knew that at age 5 at the Joan of Arc Nursery School, but we won't go into that. It's a whole other story, yes.
And I grew up in East Texas, over about 100 miles east of here, just north of Beaumont. And my father is a missionary Baptist minister. And I knew I was gay from an early age, too, but I didn't have a name for it. I didn't really know what it was. But so we talk about, in the play, we sing about what it's like to come out and to not really know how to come out, but to eventually, you know, eventually try to find our true queer voice.
This is your story.
Yeah, yes, it's our own story. It's absolutely true.
But you know what's interesting? People come up to us after the show and say, it's my story, too.
Yeah.
That you've touched on something that I went through also.
You get it right then.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think everybody has a story in them, and I think our stories are each other's stories.
Mm-hmm.
But we sing through ours.
we actually know somebody who does that, too.
So where did it start, L.A.?
It started in L.A. It started with a phone call. From the Laguna Playhouse that had done Last Session a couple of years ago, and it was a big hit for them, which Last Session, for those who don't know, is our first musical that ran off Broadway in the 1997 season. And so then it moved to the Laguna Playhouse, and the artistic director of the Playhouse called us last June, I think it was. And he said, we're doing a series of Monday night shows. One was with Susan Egan, who was in Beauty and the Beast, and one was with Charles Nelson Reilly. And he said, why don't you guys come down and tell a couple of stories and sing a couple of songs? And I've never been good off the cuff, as you can tell right now. And I sat down and actually wrote this play that had been in the back of my mind about our two different backgrounds and how we came from such divergent places, you know, and got together. And now we've been together almost 20 years. And so we went down to Laguna for what was supposed to be one night only. And the place came apart, literally came apart. I've never heard so much laughter in my life. And what was supposed to be a two-hour show, the director came back and said, you added 12 minutes of laughter in Act 1. So it's a very funny show.
Oh, that's a very funny show.
And then a producer and a director came up and said, guys, you've got something here. You can't let this die after one night. It's too important. So we put it into workshop and straightened out the rough edges. We opened in Los Angeles for what was supposed to be a three-week run, and we ran for 4 months, and then we went to Rochester, New York with the show. It's kind of wonderful. It's like God has been giving us little test markets to go to.
You got some good recognition along the way, right?
Unbelievable, J.D.
Didn't you win some like awards in L.A.?
Well, 2 weeks ago, we won the award for best score of a new musical, and we were up against some really heavy hitters. And it's funny, we were driving down to the award ceremony, and Steve said, well, let's write down some things just in case. And I said, put your pen away, we're not going to win,
because our show is very small.
Yeah,
we were in this tiny little theater. We didn't really even have a producer. We just opened the doors and said, y'all come.
Yeah, two guys and a keyboard,
two guys and a
desk and a chair and a mirror ball. Don't forget the mirror ball, that's our big special effect.
And also that was the LA Drama Critics Circle, and when they gave us the award for best score, I think we both just nearly had heart attacks sitting there. We were absolutely not expecting it. But then we also got some wonderful recognition from the gay community. PFLAG in Los Angeles gave us the Oscar Wilde Award, which they had also given us for Last Session. And that's the award for
promoting understanding through the arts. And that award is very special
of
to
gay
us.
And lesbian, of what
that
they
if
call
we can change people's
children.
Hearts through coming to see a play. I mean, one of the greatest experiences we had was one night in Los Angeles. It was a very elderly couple who had come to see the show, and we thought, oh, my God, these people are not going to get our show.
Straight couple.
Well, not only they got it, they said to us afterwards, we have learned more about gay people in the last 2 hours than we have in the last 50 years.
Is that the new show or last session?
The new show, uh-huh. The Big Voice, God or Merman. Is the name of the new show.
And we're also up for the GLAAD Media Award for Best Outstanding Los Angeles Theatrical Production. And that award ceremony happens at the end of this month.
At the Kodak Theater.
Where they had the Academy Awards.
Yes.
Did you win that for our last session?
We did.
Whoa.
We did indeed.
Back to back, maybe?
Well, you know, wouldn't that be nice? I mean, the one thrilling thing about, and we talk a little bit about it in The Big Voice, is that we got to the awards the last time, and we were sitting next to Mr. Blackwell.
Oh. That makes you self-conscious.
Oh, it did. You know, it really did. It made us very self-conscious. But, in fact, we have a wonderful picture of the three of us with Mr. Blackwell in the middle, and he declared us fashion perfect. Thank you very much.
Oh,
so we will not be making his worst dress list
this year
with Whoopi.
One of the things that we're very proud of the show, it's very entertaining for anybody, but it's also a show that a lot of, just like the last session, a lot of gay kids were bringing their parents because it's not an offensive show. Even though we're very gay and we're very out in the play, it's something that just that any family or anybody can come and see and really get it.
Well, I've been a fan since I saw the production here of the last session, and my lover at the time and I went, and like the next week we came back and brought his parents.
Oh, wow.
So we loved it, and so did they.
Oh,
yeah.
Thank you.
The show is the same way, and I think that's why PFLAG was so interested in it, because it's something that a family can come to, but it's not pap. You know, it really is a very, in fact, some of their viewers have called it a very cutting-edge show, you know, but still it's able to promote understanding. People will be in the audience and say, you know, that's me up there, that's what I am.
I love the comment. Did you see the Chronicle article today?
We might have glanced at our rave review in the Chronicle.
Yes,
today.
Oh, that rave review,
big,
I remember that.
With the Big Voice, God or Merman,
playing through April 19th. The quote I like is the one about you, Jim. It says, he assumes the more traditionally gay persona that Counts Paul Lynde and Liberace as patron saints.
Well, that's a nice kind of crossover, you know what I'm saying. I don't know why he'd say anything like that, you know.
Uncle Arthur.
Oh, my.
Well, at one point, we actually
have a lot of fun on that stage.
We do have a Liberace joke in the show. And it's funny, Steve's parents came out to L.A., and we were actually taking them to Lucy's grave.
Mm-hmm.
But to get to Lucy's grave, you have to pass Liberace's grave.
Mm-hmm.
And the grave, he has this huge kind of very formal, you know, marble kind of, it's really enormous and grandiose with his signature on the side. And so his mother looked at the signature and said, who's Silver Ace?
Who writes the music?
I write all of the music, and I write about 90% of the lyrics. And I've had a couple of good friends of mine who assist me on some of the lyrics. And Jimmy also this time around contributed a few of the lyrics as he was writing the script. Because the way we write is, I've been sort of obsessed with the subject of gay spirituality for a while, especially after coming out of last session, which sort of dealt with the same kind of issues of gay spirituality. And so for the past 4 or 5 years, I've been writing this whole collection of songs. So when Jimmy started putting the show together, he kind of collected those songs and incorporated them as part of the script. And then when he realized he wanted to veer off sometimes, he would just rewrite some of the lyrics in order to make it fit into the script, you know. And that worked for me just fine. Less work for me.
Well, we want to get a couple songs in while you're here. Can we do that now?
Sure. Now, you're having trouble hearing. Why don't we do the
closet, yeah.
And then you can do, we'll do the inner.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
I was young when I learned I was different. I learned to hold myself a certain way. I felt betrayal lurked around each corner, and it scared me just to think what folks might say. So I felt the safety lay in keeping secrets, till I worshipped at the altar of deceit. Frightened if I told it all, I'd set myself up for a fall. life would go down in defeat. So I found myself just living in the closet, and I fight each day to keep from going back. 'Cause each time I see the light of day, something in me turns away. 'Cause I got so used to living in the closet.
My father, he knew I was different, and so he came up with a great solution to fix the problem. He decided to send me away to an all-male military boarding school. And there I would spend the next 4 years up close and personal with 300 other horny teenage boys. Good solution, right? I was a man in uniform, and it's funny, I was getting beat up in the daytime by the same ones I was doing it with at night.
As I grew, I found myself still hiding, hating everything I had become. Finally changing, it cannot change the damage that's been done. From when I found myself still living in the closet, from the days when I would hide in constant shame, when each time I saw the light of day, something in me turned away. 'Cause I got so used to living in the closet.
Well, I was catapulted out of the closet my junior year of high school when I was caught experimenting in the chemistry lab. Of course, I was experimenting with an exchange student from Palermo named Aristotle Spadavicelli. The headmaster walked in with two other cadets. They saw what was going on. Word spread all over the school, and within an hour, I was more sought after than uranium.
I was in despair and I felt lonely. I thought there was nobody else like me. Why had God created me so strange? And though I prayed, I could not change. I tried to live a faith that didn't want me to teach a truth I wanted to believe. Inside, I knew I held a secret, and I felt it was my duty to deceive. So I had to go on living in the closet, never deeper hiding somewhere in the dark. 'Cause each time I saw the light of day, something in me turned away. 'Cause I had to go on living in the closet. See the light of day, something in me turns away. 'Cause I had to go on living in the closet.
How special is this?
This is wonderful. I can't wait to see the play.
I love the way you work the dialogue into the, you know, between the verses and so forth. That's great.
The first act, we tell our two separate stories, and we kind of intertwine them going back and forth until the end of the first act. We meet on a cruise ship, which was just one of those crazy things. See, I don't believe in accidents. I do believe that our lives do have kind of a plan and a meaning if we just listen to that big voice in our head and say yes. And I remembered that I belonged to a travel club, and I looked at this membership card, and it had like a week left, and I had paid $50, and I thought, oh, well, I've got to use this, and I called the hotline, and there was a five-day trip to Bermuda on a cruise ship, and I loved cruise ships, and it was $200 for 5 days, and I said, well, I can't go wrong on that, so I think I got the last cabin, and what certainly looked like the last cabin, it was steerage, and I went up to the Fantasy Lounge, and here was this piano player, and we started talking. I started singing a song, and we started talking, and 4 days later, I said, why don't you move in with me and quit this, and let's have a life together.
You're fast.
He did. I am. Well, at least I waited until the fifth day.
Oh,
I could have done it on the first night. And he said yes, because he was looking for an apartment in New York.
You used him.
I did. He thought it was romance. I was just trying, you know, to find a place to live.
Yeah, New York's tough.
Well, I had a great apartment at the corner of 69th and Broadway for $500 a month.
Wow.
Yeah.
Still have it?
No.
Oh, my.
No. We when we moved to Los Angeles, we gave up the apartment and sold our house in the country. And and started all over again in Los Angeles. But every time I go back to Manhattan, we go past Lincoln Center, I think, oh, why did I give that up?
Oh, that's great.
I think one of the themes of the play, too, is I honestly believe that so many gay people get chased out of church and get chased out of their faith traditions. And I believe that most gay and lesbian people are some of the most spiritual people I know.
Mm-hmm.
And so we end up channeling a lot of that spiritual energy into art and music and dance and theater.
And volunteerism.
And volunteerism and mm-hmm. writing. You know, it's amazing how you can't hold down that strength that we have as a people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you can't do it in the church, then you got to do it someplace else.
Right. And speaking of writing, JD's going to glare, but I'm going to bring this up for one minute.
No, go
promise.
Ahead.
Jim is the author of an absolutely magnificent, wonderful, terrific book called Lucy in the Afternoon.
Oh, thank you.
He knew Joan Crawford, so he's a god. He knew Lucille Ball, so he's a god.
See what I put up with.
Yes, and...
Well, my father dated Joan Crawford. They were very close. And there's a picture
Your father's
in...
a god. I wish I could have dated Joan Crawford.
I think she would have liked you, Joan and Joan.
Oh,
except, you know, Joan Crawford's real name was Lucille.
Yes, well,
isn't that funny?
Joan is not my real name either.
Oh.
It's well, Rex.
It's Rex.
Thanks a lot.
Well, you look like a Rex.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a very special time in both of our lives of getting to know Lucy and spending every day with her. And she was just one of the greatest friends we ever had.
Tell your lemonade story.
Well, that was the only fight we ever had. Lucy loved lemonade. And... I remember she came back the first time I ever tasted her lemonade. She had come back from the dentist,
mm-hmm.
and her mouth was full of Novocaine, and she said, "Do you want some lemonade?" And I used to have Coke or iced tea or something. And finally, I said, "All right, I'll have some lemonade." And I mean, it was like drinking turpentine on the rocks. It was just awful. And I thought, well, she can't taste it because her mouth is full of Novocaine. Well, a couple of weeks later, she invited us down to have Thanksgiving with she and Gary in Palm Springs. And they were all outside. We had some other friends, and they were in the living room, and Lucy and I were in the kitchen. And she started to make the lemonade, and she put in, like, two cans of the frozen stuff and maybe one can of water and, like, 14 Sweet and Lows. And I said, that's why your lemonade is so lousy. What do you mean my lemonade is lousy? What are you saying I have lousy lemonade? I said, you make the worst lemonade I ever tasted in my life.
Oh,
they ought to be shot.
But the poor spouses are in the living room.
And everybody else in the living room hearing our voices starting to raise, and they're saying Miss Ball and Mr. Brochu are having a very heated argument about something in the kitchen. But if you look, there's a picture in the book as we were leaving that day that Lucy took two lemons and placed them very... I would say as a stripper would put her pasties. And we had a good laugh about it afterwards. But I got to tell you, I still miss her every day. And I think about her every day.
Sounds like you have another book in you.
Well, you know, I have met some of the greatest people of the 20th century. I really have. I've been awfully lucky to be in the right place at the right time. And, I mean, I met President Kennedy a week to the day before he was killed. And met Eleanor Roosevelt. That's how old I am. So I have kind of a book in me called Watching from the Wings that I have seen some of the
None
most
None of
famous...
those people actually liked him.
But he did.
But he did mean to.
Well, yeah. Hey, Joan Crawford liked him. That's all that matters.
That's true, Jimmy dearest.
But back to the play. You got us to the first act. So.
Yes. And then the second act opens...
The second act is him meeting my parents, my little Baptist Texas parents. And we make a joke right at the front where there's a phone rings and I say he's wearing this thing.
We can't give that away.
Oh, that's right.
There's one huge sight gag in the show that we can't
true.
Give away.
Don't do that.
It brings
that.
The house down. It really brings the house down. And he says to me, "Are you he said, "Quick, take that off because my parents are coming." And I say, "Are you afraid they'll suspect I'm gay?"
"No, I'm afraid they'll suspect you're Catholic."
See, his parents were very devout Southern Baptists. His father
missionary
was a
Baptist,
missionary
which is
Baptist,
much, much
preacher.
More conservative mm-hmm. than Southern Baptists.
Yeah.
And but they fell in love with Jimmy. They absolutely fell in love with him. And, you know, I'm not even sure to this day how they deal with the gay thing. I think my dad is actually a lot more cool about the gay thing. I think my mom was a little more reserved about it, but...
It's just something we don't talk about. Mm-hmm.
But they love him and they accept us as a couple. And there was a time when Jimmy and I were briefly separated. And I think my mom was more upset than anybody because they just knew how good we were for each other. As
See, his father loves me because he can beat me at dominoes.
Mm-hmm. I'm watching the clock. Can we squeeze another song in?
Sure.
What do you want to try to do?
You do something. Why don't you do One New Hell? There's a dark turn that happens.
I can't hardly hear the piano. Is there a way you can turn it up for me?
There's a dark turn that happens in Act 2 when Steve is diagnosed as being HIV positive. And we go through some very scary moments, which leads to a brief separation. But then, as the review says today, we discovered we couldn't live without each other. So Steve kind of got away from our apartment and went up to the Bay Area to find himself, but he wasn't there.
Indian summer in San Francisco. I can feel the approaching winter. When the skies will all turn gray, and that's just how they stay, like the grayness in my soul. As I retch into some toilet bowl, like a junkie in some hustler bar, just before he gets into some rich man's car. If I thought that I could do it, I would trade this life for another. Cause I'm living that day. Is it true that I turned my back on you? Who can like the thing that I've become? Can you smell the sweaty sheets on the sweaty bed? Where I've come from, friends, I push them all away, and I lie about us every day. As I take another pill or two, I wonder who'll take care of you. If I thought that I could do it, I would trade this life for another. But I know it's just a joke, cause I've been trading
I love the way you guys interact with each other. The monologue and the music—that's great.
No, thank you. We do that all the way through the play, and it's really fun because Jimmy is more of a raconteur. He's a storyteller, and he's really funny.
I just love that they compared him to Carole King and James Taylor, and I got Paul Lynde and Liberace.
Hey, that's good.
Well, at least it wasn't Charles Nelson Reilly.
So it's fun. We trade off, and we do. I sing, and he tells stories, and then we intermix them, and. It's really a lot of fun for the audience too.
And you've got four CDs, five now?
Yeah.
Where can people get those?
They can get them at bonusround.com, which is my website, and all of my CDs support a gay and lesbian online group called Youth Guardian Services. That's a group that was started by teenagers and is run by teenagers. And I support them because they help other teenagers they do peer counseling over the internet for kids, especially who are stuck way out in the boondocks and don't have access to any kind of real counseling. So if you buy my CDs, you'll be supporting other gay and lesbian kids, and I'd really appreciate it if you did.
Great. And where can people get your book?
Well, the book is out of print now.
eBay.
Yeah,
eBay.
It turns up on eBay.
And I'm not getting my copy.
Well, actually, what we decided, and I'm about halfway through it, I'm doing my own audio version.
Oh, excellent. Yeah.
And I'm also going to talk about things that's happened over the last 10 years, like with Gary Morton. I'm going to put in some stuff that I couldn't quite write about.
What's the title of the book?
It's called Lucy in the Afternoon, because that's when I spent the time with her. I would spend
every... So you do eBayers? Lucy in the Afternoon.
Yeah.
When he drove her talking car.
Yeah, oh, right, the talking car. You remember everything, don't you?
I love that.
Actually,
I told you.
Since the book came out, I found the tapes from 1977 of the class that I took with her at Sherwood Oaks. Mm-hmm. So I may make those tapes a part of the audio book.
Well, you've got a standing invitation to come back when you do the audio book.
Oh, thank you, Joan.
Or sooner.
Anytime.
Joan, sure, happy. Very happy to do that.
So this show is at Stages through...
April the 19th.
Stages at 3201 Allen Parkway, a wonderful theater. Got your pencils and papers? 713-527-0123 or www.stagestheater.com. Tickets are $30, general admission.
They are, and the a good portion of the proceeds will support PFLAG Houston and the Hatch Student Scholarship Fund for Gay and Lesbian Kids, especially those, I think it's to help those who've been tossed out of their homes or are don't have any support from their parents. And so PFLAG Houston is a very excellent group that really supports these kids.
And what days is the play on?
We're Tuesday through Sunday.
Yeah.
And if you don't know about stages, you should. I've been working in this business for 30 years, and it's one of the best, greatest theaters with one of the greatest staffs I've ever worked with in my life. So support your local theater.
Great. I can't wait to see it. I'm ready.
Good.
That's the stages.
You'll even see my Ethel Merman impression.
Excellent.
And the name. We haven't mentioned the name of the show for a while. It's The Big Voice.
The Big Voice, God or Merman.
And we have ads and posters all over the gay area, so you can find us.
Yes, the critics have been very kind.
And, oh, yes.
And today also in the Houston Chronicle.
Just about everywhere I've picked up, there's another article.
That's great, though. That's excellent.
Well, that's good. We're PhDs.
Good.
Publicity ho divas.
Well, I hope you play to all sold-out houses.
Thank you, Joan. Thank you, J.D.
Oh, you're very welcome. This has been a special treat for us. Live music, off Broadway stars.
off Broadway.
Well, the last session got to how close to an off?
No, we were off Broadway.
We ran off Broadway
for 9 months.
Well, we thank you again for tuning in, folks. Come back next week.